Today is Monday, December the 19th, 2005. You're listening to CFRN Investigates. CFRN Investigates can be heard every Monday at 4:30 Eastern Standard Time on CFRN.net. Today we have with us Mr. Darren Saunders. Darren was the creator of the video, Where's My Stock? Darren has also been responsible for introducing me to some of the most fascinating people I have ever met. I'm forever in your debt. Good afternoon, Darren. You're live on CFRN.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much, Dwayne. And we have much more talent coming on to the show because I really am honored to do this. And I spend, like, you know, I look through all my notes and all the people that I've met on my run. And there's so many people out there with such amazing stories. And I just want to do my best to get as many of those people onto our network as possible, because I was speaking to Rod Young.
I love that word you just used, our network.
This is our network.
That is how I want people to think of it. It's not about Dwayne's radio show. No. This is the voice of the Christian investor. This is our network. This is the opportunity for the man in the street, Joe and Jane Average. This is their opportunity to be heard. We are fighting for them. You know, I'm just an average Joe, you're an average Joe, and we're going to show the world that the average American still has a voice, that the average American can still be heard. You know, we're supposed to be living in a democracy here, right?
Well, that could be like a fairy tale, because I don't know if that exists.
Well, we're going to bring it back.
We're going to bring it back, for sure.
We're taking back Wall Street first. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to take back the American dream.
But this is what Rod said to me this week, and it sent the shiver in my spine, because it really does show how we are all working together. I still, hopefully tonight, I'm going to get to hear Patrick Byrne and Mark Fork's show, and I like what they're saying on the forking truth. And if any of the listeners have not yet taken the time out to go on to Mark Fork's website, it's very interesting. And I'm also speaking to DTM, Down the Middle. That's one of the writers on the Mark Fork show, on Mark Fork's website, because I want him to come on and do a radio show, because he writes some very fascinating pieces on that website. And also about Rod. Rod Young mentioned a term to me this week that really got me going. He said that this radio show has really become like a horse for us, and how we always talk about the Paul Revere aspect.
Right, right.
As far as I'm concerned, the greatest American in the history of this country is Paul Revere. Because if we could just go back to that time and just think about it for a moment, when you look at the army that we had as the Minutemen of this revolution, if Paul Revere wasn't there addressing this and saying, you know, the British are coming. If we weren't on the ready for the British, God knows if we would be free today.
That's
so
very true.
When you look at all of us here, like I said this in one of my first shows about how there's many Paul Reveres to this revolution, and you have no idea how many more Paul Reveres are going to come onto this radio show. I got Jerry Smith from Virgin. I'm hoping to get him on the show. He just needs to go over clearance. I was speaking to him about a show. And I also mentioned to Dave Patch. I told Dave Patch I want him to meet with you. And Dave Patch, because he was trying to say he's very busy, he has to do a show.
Dave, if you're listening live or listening to an archive, I know there were some issues on the Christian Traders Forum, and I know some things transpired that didn't make you happy, and as soon as I found out, I spoke to my moderators, and they did their very best to get everything, you know, straightened out and squared away. It was simply a misunderstanding, so I'm extending an olive branch, and I would love nothing more than to have you come on the show, because you know as much about this subject as anybody, and I know that folks all over the world highly value your opinion, your thoughts, and I would be honored to have you as a guest on this radio show.
We're going to get him on the show, because if you look at his Stockgate Today articles, are explosive. You look at Bob O'Brien. I'm very interested for him to go on the show, because today's article he wrote about Overstock and Patrick Byrne not getting the shares was brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be with us tomorrow at 2 Eastern.
I love it. I love it. And I just look at, I also want to send out a message of what we're doing as far as my December 29th, protest to try to get as many students to the New York Stock Exchange as possible.
I talked about that earlier on the show today, but why don't you go ahead and give us a rundown again of what time, where at, and what you hope to accomplish.
Okay, it's going to be December 29th at 9 o'clock. We're all going to meet in front of Trinity Church, and then what we're going to do is we're going to circle the exchange. I got my true players, and I want to thank him greatly because he is also Paul Revere with us, and he is also a great person for our group, a man by the name of Mr. A. He's part of a group called Royal Takeover, exposing, like, you know, problems in this country to youth and trying to educate youth as far as how to get by all the hurdles in life and how to succeed. And he's doing a television show for his monthly spot on Brooklyn Cable Access. It's called BCAT Television, and he's going to give me monthly shows. I'm going to have 10-minute spots on each of his shows. And this week, hopefully this week, we're going to film right from the New York Stock Exchange. We're going to get his camera crew there. I'm going to film standing in front of the New York Stock Exchange, and then I'm going to send you in DVD or that thing. I'm going to send you the link to the show, and maybe we can put it up on the site. I told him that what we're going to do, I'm going to have a 10-minute spot on this month's show. It's going to air January 6th, and then he's going to send me the videotape, or I'm going to tape it. Then I'm going to get it in digital form and send it to you so you could easily put it up. And each month we're going to have different shows coming from Royal Takeover. And Mr. A's show and this group are so explosive because the shows, when you listen to them, it's just, they're really heartfelt because he has a bunch of people from the Coney Island and Brighton Beach area in Brooklyn that are just doing everything in their power to try to educate youth and help youth to see that, you know, schooling is very important. Getting good grades is very important. But also what we're bringing to them with our uncovering of these crimes that are taking place, it's very important for the youth of this nation to stand and represent themselves and help us in this fight. Because what we're going to do, when we go down to the New York Stock Exchange, I'll just give you a preview of the show. I was talking to Mr. A about an hour ago. When we go down to the New York Stock Exchange, we're going to be standing there. I'm going to be standing right at the gates at the open. I'll be standing right on Wall Street. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to interview people as they pass me. I'm going to interview, hi, are you a banker? Are you an investment banker? I'd like to speak to you about counterfeiting on Wall Street. And I will do my best to have people stay there. And if they run away from me and they hide or they tell me they're too busy, they just look guilty. And I'll explain to them that I'm going to be there every month. And I'll do my best to interview people and get them to tell me what they know about this. Because after reading Patrick Byrne's, little situation he had with his bank that he didn't want to name, about how, well, they didn't have this, and they didn't have delivery, and they're still asking for it, he gave them almost $1 million to buy 50,000 shares of this stock. And for them not to have possession of those shares and for everybody to be pointing fingers at everybody, saying, well, it's his fault, listen, the check cleared, the money is in the account, so if they have the ability to put an IOU into somebody's account, of which this is fully paid for, and they just put an IOU into somebody of the caliber of a Patrick Byrne, Overstock, everybody knows Overstock.
They really know the Overstock story after Friday's interview. And again, thank you for your help in setting that up. Talking with Patrick was very interesting because he was able to give us the point of view from someone who has actually been involved in the fight. I mean, his company, I love the story of how he built his business.
Mm-hmm.
And when he talked about that email that went around the office that afternoon when somebody came to the site and actually bought a product, you know, everybody was like dancing in the aisles. That was the early, see, that is the American dream. Now, I've been a part of building a company and seeing it become successful. God has blessed me to play a role in that, to be a part of it. And I wish every American, I realize there have to be some workers, you know. Everybody can't be the chief. There has to be workers. But I think every American, if they could just experience that, if you're not the boss, you don't have to, you know, titles and egos, they just get in the way. Mm-hmm. It was a team, and that's how Patrick talked about it. Not like him being the boss, but the team. They were all working hard to make Overstock a success. And as it became a success and people began to order products from the site, they all rejoiced together as a team because it was a team effort. And that's how we take back Wall Street, as a team effort. It's not a one-man show.
Mm-hmm.
One man can't do it.
Oh, yeah, and that's why you look at what we're doing here, and the horse that we have in our network here is unbelievable. I mean, Patrick Byrne, I am so moved by this man, and I am happy that this man is part of our team because of the first show that he did when he did that radio conference with Carol Vermont from Dow Jones, who's really a traitor to this nation. And all were listening and making fun of the show when he spoke of the Sith Lord. Did you hear of that show?
No, I haven't heard that.
Well, about 2 months ago, he did a show explaining what's taking place with naked short selling and counterfeiting in his market. And there was one piece of that show that really moved me. When he talked about how everybody in this nation, all these shareholders and all of these smaller companies, are being beaten up in the alleyways of Wall Street. And they're being beaten, attacked. And then he somehow managed to escape because he's got a bigger business. He's got TV, advertisements. He's got advertisements in the newspapers. So he's very visible as a corporation. So he was able to escape to a degree. But then he said what he did is he looked back at the alley and saw all the shareholders and all the smaller businesses that were still stuck in the alley. And he decided to go back and fight for them. So when you look at him coming on this show and speaking for an hour and a half, and you look at all the fighting he's doing with Bob O'Brien, and you look at how this team is galvanizing and how this team is becoming a true team, there is no ego on this team. Everybody here is for everybody else. Everybody here is doing their best to try to help us get through this, to try to help this nation, like, you know, take tax dollars, help this nation retrieve some of this offshoring, that all these taxes are being taken to the offshore and none of them are being paid. So when Patrick Byrne said that about how he's back in the alley, we're back in the alley with him. And we're going to do everything in our power to stop this. Because if you just look at that, like I say each week, why can't I go into my bank and tell them to give me some money and then put an IOU in the account like the bankers are doing? And instead of actually closing that account, taking the money out, whatever you have to do, just saying, yeah, well, you know, I'll pay you back later. Give me $50,000. Because in essence, that's what they're doing with you. Patrick Byrne gave them $1 million and they didn't fill his order. He obviously paid a commission. So if he paid a commission to these brokers and these brokers didn't satisfy his request and give him his stock and put that stock into his account and close that open order, they in essence just made an unregistered share. So if you're able to make unregistered shares with this much ease, why can't we do it? Why can't people like us go into the market and make our own shares of stock and just take money from the American public? Why can't we do it? Because we're good people. We're not people that are looking to take advantage or game the system or play the system. We know that there's a higher power that looks out and sees, like, you know, that's why we do our best to try to play by the rules and when we try to follow, because we believe in the Almighty. We believe. We don't do anything. And from when I was growing up, my grandmother always taking me to church and all, and I really do have a great belief that I was really blessed. One of the greatest blessings in my life is finding this radio station. Because through this radio station and my friendships with Dwayne, my friendships with Bud Burrell and all, they're really giving me hope. Like in the letter I wrote to you about Dave Patch, one of the greatest times in my life and who have supported me so much is Dave Patch. Because when I met Dave Patch, I was fighting for 4 or 5 years with Virogen, with nobody at my side. I didn't know that there were other companies that this was taking place in. But then I got involved with a company by the name of New Tech, and I got involved with one of the PR people from New Tech, and then he just asked me, I still remember the day, hey, do you know Dave Patch? And I'm like, no, who's that? And he's like, well, here's his phone number, call him. and the rest is history. Through meeting Dave Patch, I met Gary Valenati from JAG Media. I met Nano Pierce. I'm looking for the president of Nano Pierce to come on the show. And I met all these people, and I see, wow, it's not only me. There are others here that this is taking place with. So I felt a little bit that I wasn't alone anymore. And all that time being alone, and now I see that there were many other people. Now when I hear people like Patrick Byrne saying that they're going back in the alley to fight for us, it really makes me happy. And when I find friends like Mr. A and his group at the Royal Takeover with their TV shows now that we're going to put on the site here so we could watch me patrol Wall Street, I can't wait for that. Excuse me, Mr. Banker, can I have a moment of your time? And then if they're walking away from me, the camera will be watching them as I walk towards them and how they move more away from me with more, like, you know, speed in their step. And I'll be chasing them. You know, and not running after them, but where are you going?
Oh,
I want a minute of your time. Here's a coffee shop right here. I'll buy you a cup of coffee. Sit here and talk with me. We are going to break them piece by piece. You know... And what we're going to try to do on the 29th, and I called the SEC today. I called Al Appens at the SEC and ripped him to shreds because every time I tell him something about this, he always says they're going to take that into account, and then I always ask him if he knows people. I ask him if he knows Dave Patch. He makes it like he doesn't know him, Patrick Byrne. Oh, yeah, I've heard of him. And then I mentioned to him what we're going to do on the 29th, and he sounded like he was pretty scared. I said... If you don't want this to happen, tell Chairman Cox to call me up. And then he's like, well, you know, that's why I'm hired. Chairman Cox doesn't talk. I speak for him. Well, I said, Mr. Lappins, you're doing a hell of a job because how many years have I been speaking to you? How many years? I've been speaking to you maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 years. Doesn't look like you're doing too good a job. And when you tell me you're going to take, like, you know, what I'm taking down and you're going to file it, and if I could file, like, you know, something and email it to you, I told him I must have done that 100 times. So what do you think? You're talking to somebody, one of the American public that doesn't really understand this, that you get away with that? Like you tell people, oh, contact us at the SEC and we'll take care of it? What a lie you're telling the people.
Darryl,
and you can't get away with that with me.
Let's do this. Let's jump into the Wayback Machine. Let's turn the hands of time back. What got you so fired up about all this?
Well, what got me so fired up about this is a man by the name of Gerald Smith of Virgin.
Okay.
And that's why I want him to come on the show.
Tell us that story again. Just
okay, this really is a fascinating story. And I have my friend Christina Copeland from Brown Saddle Films who wrote a screenplay about this. And if anybody can help us get the screenplay sold, you know, you'll be doing a service for this community. I'll even give you a piece of the action. I'll give you most of it because what I'm looking to do is I want a political career. I'm looking to run for politics because I want this country to be run properly. And right now, as far as Democrat and Republican, that's all nonsense right now.
You used to work in a boiler room, correct?
I worked in a boiler room. I worked at a place called Stratton Oakmont that they used to sell, like, you know, they used to have people at the selling desk that when brokers worked there, if you ever sold any of the house stocks, you had people that would beat up the brokers. Like when you hear the stories about Hanover Sterling, how they had Hell's Angels standing at the desk, if you wanted to sell the stock, they would beat you up.
Are you talking about physically beat you up?
Oh, yeah. They had them standing at the gate. They had them standing.
Not just bash you over the head on a message board.
No, beat you up. They were at the office. And they would always say, if you ever sell the stock, I mean, I had people that you would hear the brokers pleading, no, you can't sell the stock, buy more. And then they would always say, like, you know, I want to sell the 5,000 shares. I bought it at 5, it's now 10, I want to sell it. And they wouldn't let them sell it. And then one day, the SEC froze their assets, and you had $6 stocks that were down $5.75, trading at 25 cents. And then they had to hire undercover guards to be standing at the door because shareholders were coming to the firm with guns looking for these brokers. Because you could not sell the stock. You could call up till you blew in the face. The brokers were scared of getting beaten up. But this story goes further down the road because I was involved in the market for so many years and I was really disillusioned by it. I didn't like it. And for so many years, I was looking to leave it, but I just stayed because I like to pitch. I like to get on the phone, and when I saw something I believed in, that's why I like what I'm doing with the mortgages. Because when I talk to people, I tell them, hey, I want to save you money. anybody, if you're interested, like, you know, Dwayne knows how to get in touch with me. If you have problems with your credit card bills or your mortgage bills, even if we don't do business, just, like, you know, email me, and I'll give you a little bit of insight on how to lower your monthly costs.
Let me ask you a question, Darren. Mm-hmm. Do you ever put somebody into a home you know they can't afford?
No.
Okay.
Because what I try to do is I have somebody now that was looking to buy, look, I have a real estate that I work with out of the Bronx, and he was looking to rent an apartment. He makes $80,000 a year, and he was looking for an $1,100 a month apartment. So the real estate agent took him, and he said that, like, you know, he didn't have enough room in the one family. So I mentioned to the guy, I'm like, if he makes $80,000 a year and he's never bought a home, why doesn't he buy a house? You see, if he buys a two-family house, and he has a $400,000 home, and he goes 100% financing. If he has rental income coming in upstairs at, say, $1,300, and he has rental income from the basement, say, $800, that's $2,100. So if he pays that $1,000 a month, instead of throwing it away on rent, he can put it into his mortgage. So he's actually investing the money each month.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just pay, and we got the guy to do business with us, so now the real estate has a sale on the house, and I'm going to work over numbers later today with this man, and we're going to get him the house. So it's like, I try to explain to people, whenever I speak to them, I say the best investment you can make is homes, because the property bubble is not going to burst. January 1st, they're going to raise taxes again 15%. So if they're going to raise taxes 15%, they can't lower the housing market, and they can't bust it, because how are they going to justify the tax raise?
Well, Mark Twain said that real estate will always be a good investment because they ain't making no more.
Yeah, that's great. But let me get back real quick, because I tend to ramble about Gerald Smith at Virage.
All right.
In 1994, I was working at Joseph Thorl, Lyon & Ross, which became Joseph Thorl & Company and is now taken over by Fornstock. So, and I don't even know if Fornstock was taken over. But I was working with a PR company out of Plantation, Florida called Payne Financial.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl's name there was Paula Murray. And Paula Murray gave me a stock Q-Sound that was trash, but since I was, like, you know, just like, you know, I like to pitch, I started pitching Q-Sound and really going nowhere. The stock was trash. And then she started telling me the story about her brother David. Now, her brother David had multiple sclerosis and was in a wheelchair. And her brother David was sick. And then Virogen in 94, with part of their natural interferon studies, did trials at the University of Miami School of Medicine.
Now, that interferon, that is a serious medication. I had a very close friend that had to go on interferon because he had hepatitis C. C. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, the medicine made him, he was much sicker after taking the medicine than before taking it.
Yeah, because if you look at, now here's the truth in it. If you look at interferon, now interferon that's made, Intron A is made by Biogen and Avonex is made by Amgen. There are two interferons that are made by these major pharmaceutical companies, and these are bioengineered interferons. And what that means is there's one subtype in the interferon. Now, you look at it like a football team. If you have a football team and you have a team coming down and there's only one defender, they're going to score touchdowns every time. Now, with the natural interferon and what Virogen has,
mm-hmm.
in the natural white blood cell, there are 28 subtypes. There are 28 different, like, you know, mechanisms to battle various diseases. And with Virogen's natural interferon, they've captured these 28 subtypes, or a majority of them. And they found a way to, when they did deals with the American Red Cross and American Blood Centers, you had, they were throwing away these white blood cells because they thought there was a waste product. And when you donate blood at the banks, it's fractionated into four parts: white blood cell, red blood cell, platelet, and plasma. And the white blood cell was always a waste product, and they threw it away. But here came Virogen and explained to them that instead of throwing it away, can you please give them to us? So they made a deal, and all the white blood cells went to Virogen. So Virogen made this drug, and if anybody wants to do a little bit of research, go into the Forbes magazine archives. Forbes magazine, February 13th, 1995. The article is True Believer, and it's a story about Gerald Smith and his wife Lois. His wife Lois was given 60 days to live by modern medicine, and she went on this Virogen trial, and she lived for 6 years. And when she died, Jerry and Lois made a pact that they were gonna, that he was gonna take over Virogen and bring their dream to market and help this company come to market. And then with that on board, and then with knowing Paula Murray and her telling me the story of David, and then meeting David Murray, and he was telling me, I worked for him at Investor Associates for a year, and he told me stories about Virogen, that he had the drug locked in his freezer, and when he ran out of the drug, he went blind, and he's walking with a cane now, and that was 3 years ago. I have no idea what happened to him. I met a woman by the name of Dorothy Slater, the same story. I went out there. I mean, I was such a go-getter with this company. I went out there to meet people that took the drug. I met a girl that Gary Ferrara knows about as well, and I spoke to him in the past about her, Samantha Shaughnessy. Samantha Shaughnessy was a 16-year-old girl with AIDS that took this drug, and the drug helped her. And it helped battle the disease. So if you look at what Virogen has, even though Virogen is a 50-cent stock after a 10-for-1 reverse split, so it's 5 cents to all of us that bought it at $9, I'm still a believer in this company. And the reason why I fight so hard is because I've watched this company go up in smoke. And being a diabetic that takes 2 shots a day and getting friendly with all of these doctors and watching this drug being thrown aside that can really help people, I say I'm just compelled to fight for them. And through this fight, I've met the people like Dave Patch, Rod Young, and all of them. And seeing that they have the same thing like Virogen has, and they're being destroyed, you know, it just makes me just want to fight 24/7. And now getting into the mortgage business, it's all becoming a slow grind for me. And getting into the mortgage business, all of these people I deal with their mortgages, I'm like the investment banks lending them money. I say that I want to make sure that they don't get involved in predatory lending like they do on Wall Street, lend companies money at debt spiral financing, lend them money that they can't pay back or that's tough and hard money, and where they go out of business and lose the home.
Now, that was a loaded question I gave you earlier, and I knew how you were going to answer it because I know your character and I know that you have a lot of integrity, but there are a lot of predatory lenders out there, and there are a lot of people putting folks in homes they cannot afford. Correct?
Yeah, yes. And like, you know, you look at that, and it's even more than that. It has to do with the banks, too, because it's not only the mortgage companies. Because when the banks come on TV and tell you that they'll lend you a home equity loan with no closing costs, home equity loans are not fixed rates. Home equity loans, they get you involved in something like 5%. And then if you're late with one payment, they could raise the 5% to 8 or 9%. And there's no fixed rate there. So if you're late, like with credit cards, if you're late with one of your home equity loans, they could move you to 10% and keep you there. So you go from paying $500 a month to paying $900 a month, and if you're late and if you can't pay $500 a month, how are you going to pay $900 a month? So what they do is they make it very easy for the banks to foreclose and take the property away from you. So what I am is I'm out there like the troubleshooter and trying to help people, like, you know, get their finances controlled and keep the banks away from foreclosure and keep the house in their name. Like what I tell people whenever I talk to them about mortgages, I say, what I want to do with you is take you to your kitchen table at the end of the month, the 29th or the 30th, when you're making out all your bills. I want to talk to you about how much excess funds you have left over after making all your payments. And if you don't have at least a few hundred dollars and if you're barely scraping by, let's talk about a program to try to cut your monthly costs.
And what kind of program would that be?
It would be like if you have like I have this man that has $2,000 in credit. I mean, $80,000 in credit card bills.
$80,000
he owes, and I ran his credit, and he has a 550 credit. And I told him,
on a scale, tell us how that scale works on the FICO or Fair ISAAC credit.
Yeah, and he has a mid score of 580.
What's the top score?
Top score is like 850. It could go as high as that.
Okay.
But he has under a 600 credit score, which is considered bad credit. And the reason why he has this is because he owes $80,000 to Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and he's paying $2,000 a month in interest.
Wow.
$2,000 a month in interest, so I tell him, you know,
now, is this a result of some kind of emergency or just poor budgeting or...
I guess just poor budgeting. Okay. So I explained to him his monthly payments, where even at a 7% mortgage, we would put that $80,000 into a 7% mortgage and just consolidate it with his mortgage now, because he has $300,000 equity in the house. He'd be paying, as opposed to paying $2,000 a month, he'd be paying $466 a month. So you have a $1,600 a month savings. And what you could do with that, as I explained to them, what you could do with that is you could put that into a tax-free bond fund, or just put it on the side in a small investment, and I can help them find the proper investment that's very safe. And after 5 or 10 years, maybe you could pay down 20, 30, 40% in equity in the home.
Mm-hmm.
And pay down your house and have a more secure, base for yourself.
The most important thing for him to understand is not to allow himself to get into this mess again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, that I do that. And I mean, now that I've gotten friends with a lot of real estates, I do my best to try to help them. And all I'm really just doing is gliding this, because once I get more deals done, and once I have a bigger base, and once I have some more people working with me here, mm-hmm. I think I could very easily move into the political field.
Well, you've certainly got the determination. You're not afraid to speak up and speak out. What sort of office do you see yourself running for?
Just something in Brooklyn.
I always kid and call you the mayor of Wall Street, but...
Yeah. Just something to do with Brooklyn, because I grew up in Brooklyn, mm-hmm. and now making friends with the royal takeover and making friends with Mr. A and all these filmmakers, what I want to do is run maybe for Coney Island or for Brighton Beach, because that's where they're out of, and they're going to let me speak at some of the schools.
So, even if City Council?
Yeah, something like that. Just to get people, because what I want to do is I want to run on an educational platform.
You really do have a heart for the kids, don't you?
Yeah, because I grew up in a broken home. And my sister, I have a lot of guilt on that level, because my sister, she slit her wrists twice. And that's why I got into Wall Street in the first place, because it really is. I mean, and she's so troubled because I come from a truly broken family.
Mm-hmm.
And she really believes everybody let her down and she wasn't given anything from the family. So I always tell her that I'm going to fight for her and I'm going to do everything in my power to give her what she thinks she's lacking. And then that's why I have such a heart for the kids, because if we really look at children, like when we look at all the people that were let go of work, Ford, GM, Merck, and now there was another company that said they were just laying off 700 people like it's nothing. Instead of looking at the worker, why don't we look at the child of that family? The child of that family is getting hit very hard. And that's why I believe my meeting with Mr. A from Royal Takeover is a true blessing, on top of the true blessing of this horse we have with our radio show, because we're all becoming one. We're all becoming such a powerful, immovable force. You know, and just talking with Mr. A today about that Wall Street game, because he's saying, we want to film. Where can we film you? I said, how about right in front of the New York Stock Exchange? He's like, that sounds like a good idea. I said, and you have the people film me, and as people are walking to work or just walking around the street, I'll be interviewing them. And if you just think of that, on top of being put onto the show, when we bring that video to Christian Traders, and Christian Traders can see the depth of this problem, because when you see people on Wall Street running away from me or not giving me the time, I'll be standing in front of whatever office there is there, and I'll ask them to tell their boss to come downstairs.
You gotta be polite. You can't.
No, very
people,
polite.
You know,
very polite. Like if somebody comes to me and tells me, "Well, I have to go upstairs because my boss is mad at me." Where do you work? You work for Citibank? You work for one of these investment banks? Yes. Can you tell your boss to come down here and talk to me, or I'll give them one of my business cards? Can you tell your boss to give me a call, and I'll be here next month, and I want your boss to come down here and have a word with me?
Are you going to have a cell phone with you?
Yes.
Okay, well, then we'll have you calling in, reporting live.
Yeah, because I'll call in, report live, because I'm fascinated by this, because I really believe that we are fighting so hard right now, and they're not listening to us, because like Bob O'Brien states that we're all loony, and we're all we made bad investments and we just have to deal with it. But if we can educate the children on the fast track to let them see what we see, and you look at what that could be, because, you know, we see it. Just to think, because speaking with Mr. A from the Royal Takeover, we saw it. The street of Wall Street filled with junior high school and high school kids and their parents.
Have you ever watched the TV show Point Counterpoint?
No.
Where the two guys with opposing points of view come on. The new show, you've never seen that?
No.
Okay. I'm going to do that here in the future. Mm-hmm. I'm going to send an invitation to your arch rival, Mark Cuban.
Mm-hmm.
Could invite him to come and defend this insane position that he has taken.
Oh, thank you very much.
And then I'm going to invite either Robert O'Brien or Bud Burrell, Robert O'Brien probably, to come on at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And let them discuss the issue with each other as gentlemen. That'll make for some very interesting radio. I've read very little of what Mark Cuban has written, but how could anyone? He can't possibly believe what he says he believes.
Well, I know people that have told me stories about Mark Cuban and the group that he works with, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I haven't sent Mark Cuban any emails, and he used to email me. I would write him emails explaining to him about this, and he would tell me that I saw green people on the street, and I was crazy. He saw the video, Where's My Stock, and he said it was very good, it was amusing, and he was laughing at it. But right now, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was thinking about that the last couple of weeks. Mark Cuban, Blog Maverick, I'm calling you to this show. I want you, Mark Cuban. You say you're such a big shot. You talk about all of us being nuts. Mark Cuban, I want you and I to debate on this show what's taking place with the hedge fund world. Okay? Mark Cuban, this radio show, when I get this link today, I'm going to send this link to you, Mark Cuban. And Mark Cuban, you need to not run away from this and not make fun of this and not make a joke about this. We need to talk about this like intelligent individuals, like businessmen.
We will be very dignified. We'll use Robert's Rules of Order, and we'll do everything very properly. But I think it would make for great radio to just hear both sides of the argument in one discussion. I don't see how anyone could possibly deny. Well, the article, were you able to tune into the show earlier today?
No.
Okay. There was an article in Euro Money magazine. It was published back in April. The article was titled "The Curious Incident of the Shares That Didn't Exist." Robert Simpson, who's a Michigan-based entrepreneur, he is also the CEO of Zan Corp. He went out and bought all the shares of Global Links.
Yep.
1,285,050 shares, when in reality there were only 1,158,064 shares ever issued. He purchased, in theory, every legitimate share in the marketplace, and the following day, 37 million shares still traded, and he didn't sell any. And the next day, 22 million shares traded, but he didn't sell any. So how could anyone say that the problem doesn't exist? That's somebody waiting on the mothership to come back and pick us up.
Yeah, and if you look at, like, you know, this Mark Cuban.
I don't want to get into, you know, calling names, and I don't want to just pick on Mark. I don't know Mark, and Mark may be a fine individual. He may not just, maybe he just doesn't really understand this situation, but he is not alone. I mean, let's face it, government officials, the people in the SEC and the DTCC, I mean, they say we're all crazy. It doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. We're making it up. Mm-hmm. How do you make up what I just read you?
No,
that is historical financial fact.
You can't. And as far as what Bob O'Brien did today with the piece that he wrote and covered up the names of Patrick Byrne and what he was doing with his broker, and
if he covered up the name, maybe you shouldn't say the name.
No, he didn't. Nobody knows the name.
Oh, okay.
He just covered up the name and the way Patrick Byrne. First of all, I can't wait to listen to Patrick Byrne's conversation with you.
Oh, it was
because
very good.
Listening to the way he talks to the broker, he's so educated.
He is. He's a very articulate man.
I mean, I'm just getting his line up right now where the broker explains to him about the market mover. He calls it the market mover and not the market here. Again, I assume you mean market maker and not market mover, Freudian slip. You know, because it's right, because with these people, they're just moving money. And when you look at what they're doing to American business, like, again, going back to the children. And what you really do have here, like I say, that this horse just keeps getting stronger by the day. Because this idea about point, counterpoint, and if we can have debates on this show, I mean, what we're going to do, I mean, now we're going to have videos from Wall Street. We're going to have discussions with both sides. And if you just look at this story is just bound to get out. So the more that they try to cover it up now and not address it and not sit down and have a conversation with us, a very respectful conversation with both parties, and just explain, like, you know, what we see, what they see, and how we can fix this. Because right now, if you look at the conquered state that this country is in, divide and conquer. Right now, there's too much division here. And with this division, we're breeding a lot of heartache and a lot of misery. And who's the first person, who's the first people to truly see that? The children. Because the children, when the children come and their father just lost a job, he was laid off from GM, and the father's so depressed, he's looking out for a job, he can't find a job, he has a couple of drinks, and then he'll have a couple more drinks. Then the doctor will tell him, oh, you're depressed, take these pills, and then he'll mix the pills with the drink. And then the father will get, and then the kid will ask for some money because the kid doesn't have a job, and then the father will get mad at the kid and smack the kid, and then the wife will get involved and there'll be a fight. And then, where does that child have any guidance? Where does that child have any support? That's what I'm building with my friends at the Royal Takeover. What I'm going to do is we're going to go through the neighborhoods there in Coney Island and in Brighton Beach, and we're just going to tell the children, help is on the way. Just continue to do good in school, continue to work, and continue to study, and don't allow yourself to be taken down. Don't allow yourself to stray from the path. Just believe in your mission. You want to succeed. You like whatever appeals to you, whatever job you want to get into, get into that and go after it with all your might, and you will succeed.
You're right. You're absolutely right, brother. Well, Darren, we're just about out of time. Is there anything else you want to add today?
Just Mark Cuban, we're going to have a radio show, and you're going to be the other point, and we're going to have a discussion. I'm going to email Mr. Mark Cuban right now and tell him that the radio show is on the way.
Be nice. Be nice.
No, very nice.
Because you're representing our radio network. So
yep.
Very nicely. Mr. In fact, you know, my parents taught me as a kid, you treat everybody with dignity and respect, no matter who they are or what they are. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mr.
Cuban.
Yeah, Mr. Cuban. I'm going to be very respectful to Mr. Cuban, like I'm very respectful to everybody from the other side, all of those players, because it's not their fault. Who's I'm not respectful to is the SEC. When I get the SEC on the phone, I talk to them like they're dirt because they allow it, and they deserve to be talked to like they're dirt because they're all useless. And Mr. Christopher Cox, you should be ashamed of yourself. I don't know how you sleep at night. Mr. Harvey Pitt and Mr. William Donaldson, you should all be ashamed of yourself. Do you have children? Do you care about your children? Obviously not. But what I'm going to do to Mr. Cuban is I'm going to send him a link, I'm going to send him the show, and I'm going to just ask him if he can to come on the show. Whether he comes on the show as we all debate, or if he just comes on the show to have a word with you. I'm going to send the word out now to Mark Cuban. I also sent the word out to Tom Ronk from buyins.net, who is a very big player here, and he's doing everything in his power to help us. Also, Mary Helburn, connected to Bob O'Brien. I sent word out to her today to do a show. And we got Rod Young and Bob O'Brien coming on this week. So
I've got a pretty full slate this week, but
maybe we could do it next week.
If Mr. Cuban is interested, I will certainly give him the opportunity to air his vision of this whole situation, as distorted as I might think it is. Give him the opportunity.
I mean, Dwayne, that's the greatest idea. I'm getting, like I said, I'm going to send a message to him. And, I mean, I really believe that Mark Cuban is such a go-getter himself that he will come on the show.
Okay.
And how big a show would that be?
That'll be great.
Thank you very much, Dwayne.
Hey, God bless you, Darren. And wait, one more time now. This is going to take place. We'll be back. We'll be back next Monday.
Yeah, next Monday. It's December 29th, 9 o'clock in front of the New York Stock Exchange. I'm going to speak. I'm speaking at Lincoln High School, hopefully, to try to get them. And even if we just get 5,000-10,000 children, we're all going to be there. We're going to film it. I have two Access Network stations that are going to film it, and we can send that film to the New York Stock Exchange, and we could send it to others, and we're going to have our monthly stakes at the New York Stock Exchange where we could speak to the investment community and speak to the traders, and we're going to have each month's show put on the website so everybody could see for themselves what's going on in the deep underbelly of America on Wall Street.
Ladies and gentlemen, the man, the legend, the mayor of Wall Street, Mr. Darren Saunders. God bless you, Darren.
Thank you, Dwayne. Bye-bye.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Pastor Dwayne Reeves, and his guests. This information should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed security broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions.